Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel. Welcome back to the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel. David, how are you doing today, man?
Good, Nathan. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm facing a problem. I'm looking at some copy, and sometimes as copywriters, we get stuck inside the frame, and I need some help trying to figure out if it's any good.
Oh, well, you've come to the right place. Let me explain. Once you finish your copy, just like you described, the anxiety begins. And it almost always boils down to the answer to this question. How good is this copy, really? When people ask me to critique their copy, they're often amazed at how quickly I get to the heart of things. Once I have that overall opinion, then I'll drill down to a lot of the specifics. But I think it's important today not to talk about those specifics, but instead to talk about that quick take. How do you know if it's any good to begin with? And I'm going to give you useful answers to three questions today. One, how can you get a quick sense of whether the copy will convert or fall flat? Two, what mistakes do newbie copywriters make that immediately signal they still have a lot to learn? Three, how do you develop the ability to have a gut feeling on whether the copy will work or not? All of that right after this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So recently on the AI Copywriting Mastermind with Jason Parker, I gave a class on 20 questions you need to be able to answer to really know if your copy is going to work or not before you test anything. It was brutal and exhausting to give that class, and it took much longer than, of course, we have on today's show. What I did for this podcast was pick the three best questions so you can get a good start on developing and internalizing a sense of what good copy looks like when you first review it, even if it's your own copy, right after you've completed it. Okay, let's start with the first question. How do I get a quick sense of whether copy will convert or fall flat? How do you know if your copy is any good? Well, to get us rolling, I'd like to turn to one of the greatest sources of Western wisdom, Aristotle. He said, "Well begun is half done." Of course, he said it in ancient Greek, but still. See, there's a lot to check when you want to make a quick judgment on whether copy is likely to work. But there's one quick trick I use all the time to know if it will fail or if it has a good chance of succeeding. And this is all about the headline and the lead. Now, I can't definitely tell if it will succeed this way, but I have a pretty good idea. And I can almost certainly tell if it will fail. Because the headline and the lead can make or break your entire piece in seconds. The headline is responsible for about 80% of your copy's success. It needs to be interesting, grab attention, and speak directly to your audience. It should also be easy to understand without needing a second read. The opening must follow the headline and expand on it emotionally. If your headline talks about the heartbreak of moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, your opening should also talk about psoriasis, not something entirely different like alternate guitar tunings. Staying on track helps keep your readers engaged. Another thing I look for right away is whether or not there's any empathy in the first few lines. Does your copy show you understand your reader's feelings or problems? Without this connection, even well-written copy can fall flat in a hurry. Also, your copy should have a clear, focused message from the start. If it jumps around too much or tries to say too many things, it will lose the reader. By checking these things in the first few seconds, you can quickly tell if your copy has a chance to work or if it's doomed. Okay, here are a few more things for that quick initial check. Immediate relevance and specificity. That is, your copy needs to grab attention right away by being relevant and specific. A simple way to look at this is like fishing. You need the right bait to catch the right fish. Compare these two openings. How to improve your overall feeling of well-being, or back pain can make getting out of bed the worst part of your day. The second one is specific and directly speaks to a problem, and that's what you want to do. Look at it this way. If your headline could apply to any product, it's probably too generic. You want your reader to think, yes, that's exactly my problem, the minute they see your headline. To make this happen, get to know your prospects inside and out. Find out what's on their mind during the day. What keeps them up at night? What's their biggest frustration? Use this information to put together a headline and opening that really speak to them. After all, your competition is not just other businesses. These days, you're also competing with cat videos. Even on copywriters' podcasts, sometimes there's a cat. Cat videos, influencers, and a million other distractions. Your copy needs to break through that noise instantly. It's got to. The second thing, drilling down a little bit on this first glance assessment, is emotional resonance and authenticity. Another thing I'm looking for right away is immediate connection with the prospect. So many copywriters don't put enough work into this. See, they focus so much on features and benefits that they forget to connect on a human level. Imagine you're selling a high-end blender. You could say, our blender has a 2,000-watt motor in 10-speed settings. Or you could say, remember what it's like when you get a smoothie at the store and it's actually smooth? What if you could get the same quality at home in a few seconds? The first version is features only. The first version, let's stay with that for a second. For the most part, who cares if it has a 2,000-watt motor and a 10-speed setting? The second version talks about overcoming a frustration, plus convenience, plus speed. It's much more likely to connect with readers. We can't say this enough. People buy on emotion and they justify what they want with a logical explanation. So you need to keep both emotion and logic in mind and thread them together very carefully so the seams and the stitching don't show. Here are a few tips to add emotional resonance and authenticity to your copy. Use sensory language to help the reader visualize. Tell a relatable story. Be honest about what your product can and can't do. And finally, think of your copy like a conversation with a friend. If you were talking to a friend about your product, you wouldn't start by listing features. You'd talk about experience, maybe your own, maybe theirs. By focusing on relevance and emotional resonance, your copy will engage your reader and have a good chance of being read all the way through, which is ultimately what you want.
I was just thinking of the 80-20 rule where they say 80% of the results come from 20% of the effort. And you mentioned the headline and the lead often is 80%, even though it's only a small fraction of the overall sales piece. But if you don't engage and excite and pull people in from the first sentence, from the headline and then into the lead, if you don't get people hooked right there, they're not going to read the rest of it. So it really is an example of that 20% of the piece doing 80% of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that you should put 80% of your effort, your thought, your imagination, your care, your focus into that 20%, or it's maybe even less. But yeah, because it's going to pay off that way, hopefully positively. Okay. Second question, what common mistakes do novice copywriters make that immediately signal they're amateurs? Well, let's talk about these common mistakes. One common mistake is not showing you have a clear idea of who the prospect is. Newbies typically skip this step entirely, or they come up with a vague idea of who they're writing to. But when you don't have this clear idea, your copy will lack direction and impact. Another big mistake, and I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again, is failing to show empathy. Newbies don't often take the time to really understand the reader's feelings and problems. Of course, you can't do this second step if you don't already know very specifically who the prospect is to begin with. But when you don't, you fail to connect with your prospect. Another problem, another newbie problem, is staying on one focused message. Newbies often try to cover too many ideas, which results in unfocused, boring copy. And they often use either weak transitions between different sections of the copy, or even worse, they use no transitions at all. Instead, they'll jump from one point to another point abruptly, and this disrupts the flow. Finally, many beginners either do a piss-poor job of presenting the offer, or they neglect this part of the copy altogether. And seeing as after the headline and opening, a strong, compelling offer is probably the most important part of your copy. Most important meaning the one that's going to determine whether you get the reader to take action or not. Falling down on your offer is a major problem. So let's dig deeper, not on offer specifically, but more rookie problems in copy that show up right away. Jargon and buzzwords. You can spot a beginner's copy in an instant by the overuse of jargon and buzzwords. Maybe they think using $100 words will make their writing sound more professional or intelligent, but it rarely works. Usually, it just confuses the reader and reduces the possibility of understanding. You could say it like this: our cutting-edge synergistic solution optimizes your business's processes. Or you could say it like this: our easy-to-use software helps you get more done in less time. What the hell does cutting-edge synergistic solution mean anyway? It could mean anything.
You would be surprised how often stuff like that makes it into copy, though.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, that's why we're bringing it up. I mean, there are a lot of people who are pretty good at other things who are just terrible at writing copy. And that's why I say beginning copywriter. I mean, even if someone's been doing it for decades, if they're writing like that, they're still a beginner as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, the second sense, our easy-to-use software, you know, doesn't sound sophisticated or cool or clever. Our easy-to-use software helps you get more done in less time, but it gets the job done, right? It tells prospect what it helps them to do, getting more done in less time. Plain and simple, and very effective. One way to get there, to get to this simplicity and this jargon-free copy, is to use this question: could a reasonably intelligent 10-year-old understand it? You know, when I'm talking to mentoring clients who've fallen into this trap, and it's easy to fall into, it's so easy to fall into. I don't blame people for falling into it because it's hard to remember sometimes. But if they have kids, if they have a 10-year-old, I say, and I remember this one client, you know, world expert in a very arcane technical subject, high value subject. And I said, he had a 10-year-old kid. I said, how would you say this to a 10-year-old kid? And all of a sudden he got it. I'm not sure it stayed with him, but he got it. And so can a reasonably intelligent 10-year-old understand it? If not, rewrite it until it's just that clear and simple. And if this is overwhelming to you, break it down this way. After you write, go through your copy and circle any words that risk sounding overly technical or buzzword heavy. Then one at a time, ask yourself if there's a simpler way to do this, say the same thing. For example, instead of leverage our innovative solutions, you could say use our cutting edge tools, right? Everyone can understand the second one. A lot of people can't understand the first one. Replace anything that comes across as hazy or hard to understand with words that clearly explain what your product or service does and how that benefits the reader. This will make your copy much more effective and relatable. Another tip is to imagine you're explaining the product to a friend or family member, someone who doesn't work in your industry. If they wouldn't understand it, chances are your prospects won't either. Now, here's the asterisk. Here's the footnote. A lot of people say, well, my prospects are sophisticated. They can figure it out. Yes, they can figure it out. But when they figure it out, they get out of that, they get off that emotional train that is moving toward, yeah, I think I'd like to find out more. Or, yeah, I'd like to do this. Or, yeah, I'd like to buy this. Or, yeah, I'd like to talk to someone. They move off that emotional train into their prefrontal cerebral cortex, their left brain, their logical mind, the part that doesn't have any emotion or any motion. And so you break the momentum that you were building up. Not good. Okay. Another thing that newbies do is focusing on features instead of benefits. And more advanced copywriters make this mistake too sometimes. They think that the features are so amazing by themselves that it is self-evident how important and useful and valuable those features are. So the natural inclination is to simply go from describing a feature, what something is, into a benefit, what something does. But sometimes even that's not enough. Sometimes you want to go beyond describing what a product does to a more compelling benefit statement that explains why a product's ability to do this thing matters to a customer, how it will improve their life. But sometimes copywriters just list simple features and leave it to the prospect to figure out why those features are important, and that's a bad idea. Take these two approaches as examples. First one, our software has 37 report templates versus get the insights on key issues through smart analysis. This will help you make more good decisions quickly, decisions you need to make to grow your business. Okay, so 37 templates sounds like the name of a dystopian Silicon Valley movie. But the statement about insights, analysis, decisions, and growing your business, that talks to a qualified prospect where they live. To avoid the risky rookie mistake of dull features and empty benefits, for every feature or benefit you list, ask yourself, so what? Make sure you come up with an answer that would satisfy the most hesitant prospect. Let's say you're selling a smartphone with a high-resolution camera. Don't just say it has a 12-megapixel camera. Instead, say something like, capture those moments in stunning detail so your memories look just as beautiful as you remember them. See the difference? The focus shifts from technical specs to how those specs enhance the customer's experience. So, bottom line here is, translate every feature into a benefit that directly speaks to the customer's needs and desires and experience. This will make your copy far more persuasive and relatable, leading to higher engagement and conversions.
Before we move on to the next one, I just want to point out all the stuff you've been talking about here. It's an example of trying to impress rather than connect, using buzzwords, pointing out the features rather than the benefits. But we have to remember that, and it's an old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so connect first. And there's room for impressing, but we got to connect before we try to impress.
That's really good. And, you know, very often salespeople and copywriters, we tend to imagine we're star performers and we're on stage and we're going for that applause. Look how smart he is. Look at that big word. No, that's not. We're salespeople. Okay. That's what we do. We simply need to get the person to see why what we've got is really the best immediate choice. Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, You'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. All right, so here's rookie mistake, the third one, and that is not using stories in your copy. Even short stories build a connection with the reader. Many rookie writers jump straight into the pitch without building a connection first. So look at these two openings. Opening number one, buy our weight loss supplement now and lose 20 pounds. Number two, Laura was not looking forward to summer at all. Her friends were all excited about planning beach trips, but she felt like she had to stay home because of how she looked in a bathing suit. That was before she discovered our weight loss supplement. As you can see, the second version draws in the reader and sets up the product as a solution. It creates empathy. A reader can see herself in Laura's shoes. Stories also give your audience a reason to care about your product before you even mention it. To add storytelling to your copy, follow these steps. Identify a common problem your audience faces. Create a relatable character who embodies that problem. Take the reader on a journey where your product helps the character find a solution. End with a transformation. Show how your product changed their life in a meaningful way. We did all that in just a couple sentences. It takes practice, but it's well worth learning how to do.
Just another example of connect before you try to impress.
Absolutely. I mean, that's so important. And, you know, experienced people kind of do it second nature, but until you learn to do it second nature, you need to really focus on it deliberately. Okay. Third question, how important is gut feeling in evaluating copy the way I do it? And how does someone else cultivate that ability? Gut feelings play a big role in evaluating copy, but it's not just about intuition. It's about developing a trained eye. You can build this instinct through experience and attention to what works. One way to develop it is by studying great copy and seeing why it works. Put yourself in your reader's shoes. The more you understand how your audience feels, the better you'll get at sensing if your copy will work. Read your copy out loud. Listen to yourself as you're reading it. If something doesn't sound right, trust your gut and revise it. Testing and measuring your results after you put your copy, you know, on Facebook or on Google or in, you know, on a website, testing different options will also help you refine your instincts. Okay, so here are some tests you can do in your head, you know, just reading it, not tests actually using metrics on the web. Okay, first, the emotional resonance test. Gut feeling is like a tuning fork for emotional resonance. It's that sense of whether your words will connect with the reader or fall flat. And, you know, as we've said already a few times, great copy is about making an emotional connection. So here's an exercise to sharpen this instinct. Pick a piece of copy you've written, read the first line out loud, then close your eyes and ask yourself, if I were the reader, how would I feel? Be honest with yourself. If your gut says it's not compelling, it probably isn't. Another part of gut feeling is what I call the clarity compass. This is the internal sense that tells you if your message is clear or confusing. Think of clear copy like a clean window. Your reader should be able to see the message without noticing the words. To hone this instinct, try this. Write your copy, then step away from it for a day. Come back and read it with fresh eyes. If you find yourself explaining it in your head, mark that section. That's where your clarity compass is telling you something's off.
Before we jump into the next one,
yeah,
you and I both have a hobby of making music. It was my first business, actually, was in the music industry. And One of the things that we ran into frequently was ear fatigue. If you're in the studio and you're at the end of an 8-hour jam session, you start to lose the ability to hear things that would stick out otherwise. And so after a recording, after our final mix for it, before we master it, we would step away, take a couple days, and then come back, listen to it in the car stereo or listen to it over monitor speakers at a different stereo in a different room. And then you would be able to pick things up that you weren't able to pick up at the end of an 8-hour recording session. And so same thing with copy. If you're spending 4 hours writing some copy and you get to the end and you're like, yes, the piece is finally done, take that break, come back to it with fresh eyes, and you'll notice a lot of stuff that you weren't able to even see after 4 hours of creating it.
Yeah, you know, Coach Vince Lombardi, one of the great football coaches, said fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I mean, it's more than being brave or being fearful. It's about having full access to all of your resources. And so, yeah, there is this inclination a lot of us have, and I've felt it at times, to be a hero, to keep going no matter how tired you are, no matter how much pain you're in. Works great in a movie, works great when you're saving people's lives, doesn't work so great when you're creating copy or music or anything that needs to be looked at sort of dispassionately or listened to, you know, with a little bit of objectivity.
Yeah, let's move on to the last one now.
All right, the authenticity alarm. This last part of gut feeling is what I call the authenticity alarm. This is your internal bullshit detector. If something feels like a lie when you write it, it'll feel like a lie when they read it. Your best protection against doing this is writing from a place of genuinely wanting to help your reader. If it feels off, revise it until it feels true. Remember this, too. Authenticity isn't about being perfect. It's about being real. And in the end, gut feeling is about developing these three instincts: emotional resonance, clarity, and authenticity. It's not some mystical sixth sense. It's about training yourself to recognize what works and what doesn't, and going through this process successfully, accurately enough times so it becomes almost instant. Think of it like, we were talking about music. Well, think of it like learning to play an instrument. At first, you don't think about every note, but with practice, you start to feel the music. That's what we're aiming for with copy. Use your instincts, but balance them with data and testing. That's how you create copy that resonates with your audience. Mastering the balance between instinct and analysis is a key to becoming a great copywriter. You need to blend the art of writing with the science of testing results. Great copywriting is about understanding people and connecting emotionally and delivering a clear and compelling message. When you do this, you're not just writing, you're creating a conversation with your reader, a conversation that leads to action. And that's what great copy does. It doesn't just sell, it also builds relationships and trust. So learn how to do that, and you'll be in great shape.
Man, all of these are great. I think this last one, especially nowadays when people are bombarded with scammy emails and scammy offers, and more and more the audience is becoming sophisticated. They have access to all kinds of information. They can just go look up and see what other people who have already bought have to say about your offer. That tiny little red flag of inauthenticity, if it even just tickles them just a tiny bit, it's going to raise that skepticism red flag, and they're going to be off looking for reviews. And so that last one is so powerful, because if you don't get that right, you're going to have people leaving your sales page a third of the way through and possibly never coming back. And so just a great way to finish off the show.
Thanks. Yeah. So remember, that was 3 out of 20, and you can get the full class as well as a lot of actual AI agents that write copy for you, and even more in the AI Copywriting Mastermind, which Nathan and I are both in, and Jason Parker created. So we'll leave a link for you in the show notes for that class.
And I'm going to just finish it off with this. Some of the AI stuff that we've been creating in that mastermind blows my mind and is amazing, but it still only gets you about 95, 96% of the way. And a lot of times what I'm finding is you need this magic eye that we've been talking about, this ability to look at copy and have a gut instinct of, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? Because the AI can do some amazing stuff, especially if you massage it correctly. But I'm still noticing, as I'm seeing more and more people use AI, I'm still noticing, oh, if somebody came to me with this right there, I would have had some red flags go off. And intuitively, after years and years of studying and writing, you start to pick up on these things naturally. But if you're just jumping in and hoping that AI will be able to be a master copywriter for you, you need these three that you went over, but also there's a couple other things that are very important as well. And yeah, you did just recently go through a full class on how many of them? 20 plus?
20.
20. Okay. Yeah. So if you dug this episode, definitely check out the AI Copywriting Mastermind. David is in it. I'm in it. Jason Parker's in it. It's amazing every week. Man, just a great episode. Thanks, David.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Nathan.
All right. And final plug, if you want to get a quick link to go find out more about the mastermind, you can find it in the show notes. And the show notes for this episode will be over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.